Hello, thank you very much for listening to my podcast, Where's My Mind? This is Chevy, real name Brian R. Barter. I'm recording this one right here, I'm doing right now, about a little over a week after I recorded the actual episode. So it's about probably 9 days prior I recorded the episode. And I want to say that I am still practicing the steps here to continue my recovery from codependency and relationship addiction. It's a difficult thing. I find myself already, if not fantasizing about getting my narcissistic ex back, about getting a new relationship. And you know what? I know that that would not be healthy for me. I know that the best thing for me right now is to discover that I can passion for and love myself. That really is like the first step, is figuring out who you are and finding some compassion for yourself. If you're like me, which I hope you're not, then have like something wrong with you, like borderline. You probably won't have full self-love ever, honestly. But I find that if I can respect myself, honor myself, and give myself compassion, that it's a worthy substitute. The fact of the matter is that I honor my individuality. It's very important to me. So when I get codependent, I get enmeshed in the relationship, and I lose my individuality. My authenticity is gone, and like I no longer really have a true sense of self. So by being codependent, I'm actually not honoring my own value code. My 10 core values, that's one of them, is authenticity. So if I want to be true to myself, like I was those periods of time, last summer and for a little bit last fall into winter, where I was single and I was okay. It's only been a week now, so I'm going to keep going, man. I mean, I'm trying to no contact, but there's going to be little bits of interactions here and there through text. But for now, let's keep it at that subtlety. I could have talked to him in person today, and I chose not to. I had a reason. He was right there, and I walked away. I kept walking the other way. So that said, being said, thank you for listening to my 2-bit amateur podcast. I appreciate you and your ears. So dive into this. We got a little bit of time here to talk about the steps it takes to begin recovery on codependency and what it is. Thank you for listening to Where's My Mind? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and or good night. I do appreciate you tuning in and listening to Where's My Mind? It is my personal amateur cruddy podcast that I attempt to make a difference with, but it's something that I'll be remembered by after I pass. I'm taking advantage of this opportunity where I actually feel somewhat mentally okay to actually record an episode. The reason that I have not been recording many lately, you might have noticed if you're a longer-term listener that there's been a lapse in such things, is that I spend too many of my days these days is trying to be okay. There's a lot of self-consciousness, and it comes from a lot of shame. And it comes from my situation, which is I've been homeless since I lost my apartment. Christ, that was 4.5 months ago. I've been single in a relationship, back and forth, off and on, same person. So there's a lot of rejection feelings. I've been basically not been getting very... I've been sober a lot. And I have a history of doing these episodes when I am not such things. And so it's been hard to record when I've been feeling my inner feelings of inadequacy, self-consciousness, shame, like I said, so powerfully. They really get overwhelming sometimes, like with my personality type, my disorder, all my disorders. I tend to feel really powerful, often overwhelming emotions that just make it really hard to function with daily life. And I'm not medicated right now, not on prescription meds at least. I also want to add that it is very early on a Sunday morning, and at the moment my sobriety is questionable because I believe in honesty and transparency, especially on Where's My Mind, so I'm going to say that right now. That is the case, like I said, with most episodes. I feel okay today. I feel less... I keep saying self-conscious. I feel like my confidence is a bit higher than it often is. And I feel less inhibited and shy, less socially conscious. So, I'm going to talk about one thing, though, on the opposite end of the spectrum, and that's something that I am proud of having done. And this is in the midst of all these troubles and hardships. There is one thing that I have been aiming to grow towards personally for a very long time, for a very good, important to me reason, and I have been failing on that for a very long time. Everything is a silver lining, I believe that. And pretty much everything has some kind of, no matter how minute, silver lining. Okay? So, like, one thing about losing my apartment, and it sounds like there cannot be anything, it's like a trick question. One thing about losing my apartment and being homeless is that it has helped me, one, be more sober, okay? But two, I have been forced through circumstances in the past 5 months to more or less have to be okay with not having my limiting object and thus not being able to exert my codependency. Along with borderline, along with things like anxiety disorders, probably even ADHD. Trauma, though, having a codependency issue is not too unusual. It usually goes either one of both ways. You're going to be an anxious attachment style, and you're going to be like me, or you're going to be an avoidant attachment style and not want to really connect with anybody because you probably have APD by this point. So I have learned what it's like to date apart from my limited object, and then what it is like to make the conscious decision to break up with this person just so I can be available for my limited object. And I found that I prefer that. And I've been back and forth with this person, I think twice now. This will be the third time since last winter. And I still prefer the dopamine rush that I get, the satisfaction, even when there are lapses, than being with pretty much anybody else that I know of that I can think of right now. I honestly believe that I know myself very well. I do so much introspection, it causes me anxiety sometimes. I wish I didn't know so much about my damn self that I know I really cannot think of a single person that I would be happier with in the world than the time I spend with my long-term partner here. But the point is that there have been many times where I have chosen or had to be alone. And I too decided to, because I'm trying to avoid perceived potential public humiliation or any kind of perceived potential rejection, I often had gotten a rather anxious avoidant myself. And I would back off when I felt there might be a potential emotional threat. Now, this is after a learned experience, conditioned response to having attempted codependency when it was far from being reciprocated and feeling like I was dying inside. So why would I indulge in a behavior that I know will make me feel like shit? Well, that's not very productive. So I had chosen to be single with the having the availability to see this person without even procuring a relationship dynamic, but just letting it be as it is. And I have recently been looking online, and I saw this YouTube video, and this guy seems to be into the Serenity shit. He's into like the 12 step, but nonetheless, what he has to say here does seem to make a lot of sense for it's called the 5 steps to overcome, basically to become a recovering codependent. This is on a website called SerenityOnlineTherapy.com, and I'm rather impressed with this guy's stuff. So, without further ado, lost my interconnection. Well, I can more or less paraphrase these, I believe. So the first part to become overcoming codependency is accepting what it is, accepting that it is a toxic dynamic on your end, on both ends really, but it's up to you to change it. And accepting that it is that, and that it needs to be changed, and that you are not okay with that. So I mean, like, codependency really never ends in any positive way. Either you're going to have a toxic bond, you're going to be really lacking control in your own life, or you probably are going to get really hurt. Because to be codependent, you have to be almost unwillingly vulnerable. It's like a complete submission of the self to another person. In a relationship, it's supposed to be you, me, and us. While to the codependent, there is you and and us. There is no me. So you lose that core sense of self, really. And one of the things I worked on very hard last fall and last summer, two times when my session there had left me, or abandoned me, as I called it, to be dramatic there, and enhance the understanding of my abandonment issues, was that I worked on my sense of self. I figured out what my 10 core values are. I figured out who I am. I already know what I like to wear. I already know my favorite kind of music, my favorite movies. I'm very particular about these things. But I figured out more or less what kind of psyche I have, what kind of mindset I have, and understanding like your personality type, and then like looking up things that match you, and you read these things. It's almost as if you're reading about yourself, but from somebody else. And I think it really helps as an affirmation to say, okay, I'm starting to understand, as I'm reading somebody else's words, who I really am. Okay, and the main reason that I believe people will become codependent, the primary underlying cause is because of a lack of sense of self. Now, it's very common with people with borderline, which I do have, and I've come a long way. I'm 33, so at this point, I'm expected to have done some work. Is that we often inside we lack a sense of purpose and self. I'm actually looking at a 19-year-old these days. I see this person every now and then, and I have strong vibes in this person that they are BPD. It's just starting to blossom. It tends to come out around that age. And by the time, 10 years later, by the time you hit your 30s, it starts to decline a bit, and you become so aware of it by that point, because the symptoms of borderline are so overwhelming that it's kind of hard to entirely bury them within yourself, because there will be repercussions. Nobody comes out unscathed. So the first step is to accept it. And understand that you have been in denial of being codependent, because it has a dirty stigma. In all honesty, a little bit of codependency isn't that bad, but as long as you're okay by yourself. Okay. So number two, he says here, I'm paraphrasing this from the Serenity Online Therapy, is that you must educate yourself, and I've been doing this on every aspect of psychology, especially if it relates to me. So learn what it takes to be in a consistent, healthy relationship. Learn that. Learn what things you do, what traits you have that reflect on codependency, and learn what you could do differently. I don't want to use the word better, but differently, to have a different style of relationship where you are less needy of your partner. I hate to use that word. Where your partner does not feel such a necessity as much. Where you are okay without them. Learn what it takes to do that. Education. There are tons of videos all throughout YouTube or podcasts like my own that talk about this. Okay. So number three, basically. So be self-aware. Recognize your patterns. So like, okay, in my case, all right, so I had already experienced numerous anxious avoidant breakups, get back together, etc. And I remember getting hurt every time. And I tried to think, okay, but what did I do every time? What's the common denominator here? You know, and often you'll find that most times, while they might trigger you, they might incite a trigger, you still do some behavior that pushes this person away. Or at least that's in my case. Or like every time you get into a relationship, what is it that goes through your head? What thought that triggers you to become codependent? And like, I mean, listen, I've learned from also being on the receiving end of this, I really don't like somebody hanging off my arm 24/7. It kind of gets smothering. I've done this and had it done to me. So I've seen both ends, and that really kind of helped to say I was the codependent one, so I can't have one because it's really annoying. And then when I get back with limited object, I say, okay, well now I know how that feels. So it's like a whole new kind of empathy. It's an empathy from experience. I can say, I literally know what that's like, and I'm so sorry. Okay, so understand your patterns, and you know, like, so this is right here, I'm gonna quote one thing here. Mindfulness means intentionally and non-judgmentally being open to the present moment with an attitude of curiosity. So be aware of what you're doing, but don't judge yourself, because then your self-esteem is going to drop, and then you're going to get more codependent, and it'll probably have a reverse effect. So basically saying, I'm aware in like a stoic kind of way, like it is what it is, you know, it just is. I'm aware this is what I've been doing. Okay. Do I enjoy the outcome when I do this? No. I mean, like, does it feel good in the moment? Yeah, probably. But what happens when that affection gets rejected? You feel like you just want to die. So, observe how you feel when you get that way. And they really, this part really is up to the individual, I believe, is to say, like, what can I do as a coping skill for, say, like, when I feel like I am lonely, what can I do instead of obsessively texting or attempting to call my partner? Well, I've found some things. I can record a podcast episode. I can listen to YouTube or my own podcasts. I have spent several nights in the past 2 weeks alone in a tent with no cell phone service, not far from town, but in more or less solitude. And I've found ways to cope. They may not all be healthy. They include vodka and cigarettes on most nights. Without them, there's definitely going to be some anxiety. But as long as I have those in a podcast, man, I mean, I tend to sleep okay. I'm probably pretty tired by the end of those days, too. But anyway, so find what you can use to healthily substitute the need for another person. Okay. Step number four here, back to paraphrasing. Okay, so feel your fucking feelings. Feel the negative feelings. You're going to have to understand that there will be feelings of rejection and abandonment, and they suck. They're not fun. Okay, but like, as I've heard other people repeating this after I've told them this, it makes so much sense. And I didn't make this up myself either. Is that you really can't have joy without sorrow. You can't have bliss without pain. You know, you can't have you cannot have flowers grow without rain, man. You gotta have the negatives to fuel the positives. Because everything is always a base level positive. You wouldn't even know that it's a positive anymore because it becomes neutral. So those shitty feelings, those really shitty emotions of like, you know, sometimes I learn now, like, as long as I'm not embarrassing myself in front of public, if I hear a sad song and it evokes an emotion in me and I want to cry, I'll fucking cry for a couple minutes. And afterwards, I usually feel a lot better. Because, like, you know, when you do that, it really releases some chemicals in your brain that really help you feel a lot better after. I mean, crying is an intense emotion. And I do believe there's definitely some dopamine and or norepinephrine involved in that. So, like, you know, I mean, as long as it's not like a 10-minute bawling session, you know, but give yourself a couple minutes a day to cry if necessary. But be aware of how you feel on the inside. Be aware of your actual emotions. If you say, well, I feel, you know, like I have to cling to this person. Why? Because I feel rejected by your boss or your family, a friend, or even that person themselves. That oftentimes the person that hurts you is the one that you want to go to because you're codependent on them. So can they actually make you feel better? No, they really can't. Because what you're doing is you're allowing that person to, you're saying, this is what will make me feel better. So you get it. But if you can't get that, how are you going to feel? Like a borderline, that internal sense of emptiness. So feel what it's like to be alone and say, okay, like, you know, how do I feel right now? Is this really that bad? Well, yes, it feels bad because I'm not being texted back by person X. Okay, but is that really harming you? Is it actually causing any damage? Yes, it makes you feel bad. Is it actually changing anything? Deep down inside, you know they'll text you back. You fuck this up royally. I mean, that's a whole different podcast episode. But like, if you know this person, we'll get back to you. Patience is something learned through experience, I believe. Either you have it or you don't, and you will eventually learn it. Because if you never learn patience, like I hadn't, jail is a lot on that. But if you never learn patience, you're gonna live life with a lot of letdowns, and you're gonna be very disappointed at a lot of turns and points in your life. So be aware of your negative feelings, accept them, and say, this is what this feels like. Okay. And accept it, like I said. And then once you do that, you can start to understand on your own what you can do to feel better. Then obviously, you know, so you know, you feel like, oh, I've been rejected, you know, why must be a piece of shit? You say, well, okay, change your perspective, say, but I do like these three traits about me. Like those little exercises they might have done in children's therapy. Yes, I did that. You say name three good things about yourself. That's incredibly effective. Just to write them down, write them down, so that way they kind of take a form in your mind. And then you actually have something to say, yes, but I do personally believe that I am good at this, or I know this. You know, like, so then, because it's better to present or feel a negative if there is a positive following it. Because then it's just an end on that dead end bad note. You say, well, this sucks, and it felt horrible. But you know what? I know that I'm good at my job, blah, 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 blah. And then you say, and you follow up with a positive, and then the last thing you thought in your mind is positive. It really makes a difference. And the last thing here, and this one I do have to quote, it's three words: progress, not perfection. This is step 5 to becoming a recovered codependent. So it says that this is an Al-Anon slogan, and I did not hear it from Alcoholics Anonymous. I've tried it. It didn't work for me. I know people that swear by it. Not for me. So basically they're saying that. So let's see here. This one I'm actually going to have to read into because this sounds so ambiguous. Therefore, you must be patient and kind with yourself and never expect perfection. Okay, yeah, I mean, I never expect perfection from myself anyway, but when I relied on my significant other to make me feel like things were perfect, and when the relationship was not perfect, I wasn't okay, well, then you're never going to be okay. Because deep down inside, you're always going to know that there's no such thing as perfection in any way or form. I mean, like, I felt like I had temporary perfection in the fall of 21 to the spring of 22. That was the closest thing I've ever had to perfection in a personal life, every work, personal, everything in life, ever. And you know what? That was my perfection. And I'm one of the lucky few in the world who's been able to experience what that they personally consider to be perfection in life for many months, like more than two. And so that's like, that's a rare gift that very few people get, because most people, I guarantee you, probably having lived their lives, and when they passed away, they probably said, that could have gone a whole lot better. And a lot of mine could have. Right now it can. But I know what it's like to live your entire life in a state of emotional fear, and having somebody sweep you off your feet and literally make you feel safe for the first time in over 30 years. And that was perfection. There was transportation, I was given gifts I'd never been given before. Yes, there was love bombing, and it felt fucking great. I don't regret it for a second. Thank you. It feels great to feel wanted. I was given flowers for Valentine's Day. Guys don't get flowers. Well, when you get, you do sometimes. There are benefits, trust me. It's a lot better than straight relationships. But, so, yeah, and the pain fucking hurt more than anything I could ever expect in my life. I have trauma from it. I mean, I'm a pretty highly sensitive person. I do experience trauma fairly easily, more so than others. I tend to process it at a deeper level. It goes along with being an HSP. So, yeah, traumatizing me is not difficult. Sorry, me. But anyway, so, yeah, when that was taken away from me, and when I lost that for whatever reason, it was no longer there, without finding guilt, it was like an intense drug withdrawal, and it was like I was being weaned off a long-term med way too fast. I had terrible withdrawals, and then suddenly all gone. You're only halfway down your taper, so I guess that's a good way to analogize that. And a lot of that was because I had come to the point now where I had mentally put myself in this pattern of taking this drug, this personal relationship, and using them as a coping skill for my own insecurities and issues in life. Therefore, I wasn't actually dealing with them, but I was putting a band-aid on it that was another person that makes their own choices and is never going to end well. And it took me a long fucking time and experience to realize this and say, there's a healthier way to go about this that actually would just benefit me and won't hurt anybody else. I always say, you do whatever you do, you do it good for you, as long as you don't hurt anybody else. And if you're the one setting yourself up for hurt, and it's happening repeatedly, you know, like, you, I highly recommend you debate a possible course of action for changing game plans in your personal life, because I'm to the point now where I can be alone and I'm okay. I spent 9 days in county jail. I spent longer, but before, when I spent 2, 9 days seemed like the substance of Wes Craven nightmares. It sounded terrifying. Such a long time after just being for bail. But I stayed calm, stoic, patient the whole time. I had faith I'd get out. I was very patient. I guess it helps to not have much to look forward to on the way out. To know that not many people are out there missing you. Because when you worry about other people too much, you often forget about what's best for you. And what was best for me, I found out, was to be, well, to practice personal growth. I listened to a lot of podcasts. I meditated. They now have tablets in Maine County jails. You can download podcasts. You can do a bunch of other things. But I pretty much just sat and listened to podcasts. My activities in my mind, I did laps. I walked laps. I took showers at least once a day. But the thing is that I didn't rush anything in my head. I didn't say, this is going to happen. It's going to happen today. I say, this will happen very soon. I have faith that this will end in a way that I'll come out okay in the end. I'll be okay. You know, And if you can experience some hardships in life, be aware of it, be aware of how you feel and how you overcame it. Remember how you got through X, Y, or Z, and say, if I can do that, I can do this. Worst things can always happen. And if you're listening to this, then either you're really cool and you're my friend, or you actually want to better yourself in some way. So that right there is a really good reason to say, you know what, you're on the right track more than most people are. All right, Sunday morning at just past 7:30 in the morning. Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for listening to Where's My Mind. I really do appreciate it. I really am truly, honestly grateful for your listenership. I now have like 22 Spotify followers. I mean, like, that's not much in comparison to many others, but to me, that's a fucking gold mine. Like, dude, if you're following me on Spotify and you're listening to this, dude, like, I fucking love you, man. You're my hero. Like, you're boosting my self-confidence, my self-worth, my self-esteem. You're making me feel like my legacy, my only purpose in life right now, actually, I'm doing this for some reason other than just for myself, and I really do really thoroughly enjoy helping others, and especially people listening to me. That means that my words must mean something. So, appreciate you, man. Thank you for listening to Where's My Mind, hosted by Brian Rob Barter, aka Chevy. I'm available on Spotify, iHeartRadio, which I'm very proud of. I'm available on Player.fm, and hell, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm on a couple more here and there. But I know I'm on those three at least, and I really do appreciate you listening to me. It does tell me how many plays I get, so I get to look and see how shitty I was, or how awesome I was, or maybe how mediocre I was. Either way, the fact that I wasn't clicked on at all means people are. Appreciate you guys. You guys are the cool ones, man. Stay kind, stay compassionate. Utilize your empathy, but don't let people take advantage of you. Keep your guard up, but only to a certain degree. This is the best advice I can give. And remember, the only thing that nobody can take away from you is your knowledge. Have a good one.